It's All Things Considered on KUT. I'm Nathan Bernier. Early voting for the November election starts on Monday, and this week we've been arming you with some information before you head to the polls. We've highlighted the candidates in a few key statewide races, and we let you know just what the offices they're running for can do and cannot do. Joining me once again is KUT's political reporter Ben Philpott. How you doing, Ben?
Hello.
So I guess we have saved the best for last in some respects. Let's talk about the governor's race and have a quick rundown of the governor's powers as well.
Well, the Texas governor is traditionally considered a weak office. You've probably heard that before. And the reason for that is when Texans were writing up their constitution after the Civil War, the LBJ school's Sherry Greenberg says they were very eager to limit any and all powers of any of the carpetbaggers that we had after Reconstruction.
So when Texans wrote the Texas Constitution, this very populist document with as much power as possible vested at in the people and at the lowest, most local level of government.
Of course, it wasn't just Texas. Decentralizing government power was a broader trend across the country back in the 1800s. And that action in Texas left us with what's considered a weak governor.
So what can the Texas governor actually do? What are the powers?
Well, of course, lots of things, although some of them might seem a little small. The governor is the only person who can call lawmakers into a special session. Now, that's pretty important. We've seen Governor Perry use this power fairly often in his 13-year tenure. The governor also is required to produce a budget for the legislative session, although that budget is traditionally ignored by lawmakers.
Really? They come up with their own?
Yes, they do come up with their own.
Okay. Well, the governor doesn't he have line item veto power over the finished budget once it's passed through the state legislature?
Yes, they can ignore him on his own budget, but when their budget gets sent to his office, they can't ignore that veto. It is a very strong power, and the governor can, of course, use veto threats to get the budget and other bills written to his or her liking. And then, of course, there's the most important power a governor has, and here's former state lawmaker Talmadge Heflin.
Many of the powers of the governor, I think, come from the ability to our responsibility of appointing many, many positions within state government, within agencies.
That's how current Governor Rick Perry transformed the office from weak to strong. You see, the state constitution set the terms for appointed state agency board members to 6 years. Governors only have a 4-year term, but if you stay in office for 13 years, like Governor Perry has, eventually you'll have made every single appointment to every single board in the state, which means when the governor leaves office, he's actually going to take that power with him. No matter who replaces him.
And to clarify, he has made every single appointment to every state board at this point, yeah?
Yes, he has.
So let's get to the next question. Who is trying to replace him?
We've got Republican Attorney General Greg Abbott and Democratic State Senator Wendy Davis. Those are the two top candidates. We'll start with Davis. The senator gained national fame from an 11-hour filibuster of a new law, or a bill rather, regulating abortion facilities in 2013. That bill was refiled during a special session, one, of course, that, as we said, Governor Perry could call, and it did pass. But that event brought thousands of people to the Texas Capitol and really kickstarted her campaign for governor. She's running on infrastructure investment, like increased spending on roads, schools, and, you know, water infrastructure. But she's also been running from behind throughout this race. So she's also had to attack Attorney General Abbott a lot. She's tried to paint the Attorney General as someone who has taken large donations from special interests and then ruled or defended those groups in court. Then last week, of course, she released an attack ad that specifically talked about the accident that paralyzed Abbott.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott. He sued and got millions. Since then, he spent his career working against other victims. Abbott argued a woman whose leg was amputated was not disabled because she had an artificial limb. He ruled against a rape victim who sued a corporation for failing to do a background check on a sexual predator. He sided with a hospital that failed to stop a dangerous surgeon who paralyzed patients. Greg Abbott, he's not for you.
Now, Davis has been criticized for that ad, but she also hasn't backed down from it over the last few days.
What about Attorney General Greg Abbott? What's his campaign been focused on?
Well, first of all, he's pointed to his disability to show his strength of character and ability to overcome adversity. During the speech he gave when he launched his campaign in San Antonio, he said that he would not waver when things got tough, because he actually has a spine of steel.
Literally, right?
Literally has a spine of steel. In terms of policies, he's pushing for changes in the state's education system, limited state spending, border security, and, of course, a continued opposition to all things connected with President Obama. In fact, while most of his campaign ads have been positive, his latest one does go on the attack, and it connects Davis with the president.
Barack Obama as governor of Texas? He may as well be on the ballot because Wendy Davis is just like Obama. Davis supports the EPA's regulations that threaten Texas jobs, just like Obama. Davis supports billions in higher taxes, just like Obama. And she even wants to expand Obamacare in Texas by executive order.
I'm not on the ballot this fall. But make no mistake, these policies are on the ballot.
Don't let Wendy Davis bring Obama's policies to Texas.
And getting tied to President Obama is not a great thing in Texas.
And nope. Although just being called a Democrat has been enough to keep you from winning in Texas over the last couple of decades.
And that leads to my next question for you, Ben. Is there any chance that Davis is going to reverse that trend this year?
Well, people do the voting, so I will leave it up to them. Groups like Battleground Texas, which wants to make the state competitive for Democrats, says that it's made contact with 5 million voters leading up to this election. Now, if only half of those people voted for Davis, that would make this a very, very, very close election. But until we actually have a close election, this is a red state, and Abbott is considered the frontrunner.
KUT political reporter Ben Philpott telling us about some of the statewide races. You can listen back to our other conversations. We talked about the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and the comptroller. Learn more about those offices and who's running at KUT.org. Thanks for your time, Ben.
Thank you.